hell, and I'm telling you that for two reasons, some good news and some bad news. Bad news is I'm probably going to sound like a coyote in a trash compactor when I'm trying to preach, because it feels like I got razor blades in my throat. You know how that goes, you know. But good news is I'm probably not going to preach very long, Brother Anson. That's the good news. Okay. Amen. But we're going to read out of Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, one of my favorite portions of the Word of God. One of Paul's prayer for his converts. I just love this. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, I want you to notice verse 17. It says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." And I want to talk to you for a little while tonight on the most important area of all. Amen. And Brother Bernie, would you pray? Amen. The most important area of all. Now, if I were to ask you the question of what is the single most important area of our entire Christian life, what would your answer be? I mean, would you say that it was your prayer life? I mean, after all, our prayer life's important, right? I mean, that's how we communicate with God. That's how we develop a relationship with Him, is through prayer. So prayer is very important to a Christian, isn't it? Yeah. Or maybe some of you would answer and say, well, I think the most important thing in our spiritual life is reading and studying the Word of God. Because after all, that's the only way that we can know who God is and what He expects of us, so that we can know that we're acceptable in His sight. So reading the Word of God, I think, is the most important thing. Then some people might say, well, I think our efforts towards evangelism is the most important area of our spiritual life. Because after all, the book of Romans tells us that we're the only hope those lost sinners got. The only way they then get saved is through the preaching of the Word of God. So I think the most important thing is trying to reach the lost and giving them the gospel message. Or maybe somebody might say, well, I think the most important thing in our spiritual lives is pursuing after true Bible holiness and making sure that we obey everything that this book has got to say to us. I mean, after all, in the midst of a world that, you know, is lukewarm at best in Christianity, and all these liberal preachers on TV and all these you know, liberal watered-down churches all over the place, I mean, we got to understand, man, the Bible still says that we're to do what Jesus told John the Baptist, and it we're to fulfill all righteousness. You know, so somebody might say, you know, it's so important that the Bible says that without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. So that's the most important thing that there is. After all, how's anybody going to have a proper example of what a Christian's supposed to live like if there isn't somebody that follows after holiness? Then somebody might say, well, I think that us as believers displaying the power of Pentecost in our lives is the most important thing. And having the gifts of the Spirit and healing and miracles and being a living example of what we see displayed in the book of Acts, I think that's the most important thing. So really, there's all different kinds of ways we can answer that question of what is the most important area of our spiritual lives. And what I'm asking, I'm sure that many of you came up with different things. Some was reading, some was praying, and whatever it might be. And we all know that all those things that I just mentioned are very important, aren't they? All five of those things that I just mentioned are absolutely essential to our spiritual lives. Man, we've got to read the Word of God. We've got to pray. We've got to witness. We've got to follow after holiness. We want to have the power of Pentecost in our lives. I'm not trying to degrade those things. All those things are absolutely essential. But did you know that the Bible tells us there's a certain area of our Christian lives that's more important than any of those things that we just mentioned? As a matter of fact, the Bible goes as far as to say this, that there's a certain aspect that relates to our spiritual lives that is more important than all those different things we just talked about put together. And I realize that's a pretty significant statement, but at the same time, I want you to realize that what I just got done saying is true. The Word of God tells us that there is an area or an aspect in relation to our Christian life that is more important than all of those things put together. It even goes on as far to say that without this one particular area being firmly established in our lives, that we can't even go on to fulfill those different things that we just talked about in the way that God expects us to. That's how important this one particular thing is. So what is this all-important area? It's the area of Christian love. Amen? Now, I realize that love's a topic we don't like to get on much anymore because, after all, the liberals out there, that's all they want to talk about. The grace, mercy, and love of God. You know, you can live however you want because, after all, we're under grace. And as holiness Christians, we get so upset about that because we know that that kind of doctrine is leading thousands, if not millions, of people to hell. But does that mean that love isn't the topic that we should deal with? Does that mean we just set it aside? I mean, after all, the Bible says it's the most important thing to a Christian's life. So just because somebody else ain't preaching it right, does that mean we don't preach it at all? In the words of Paul, God forbid that we would do such a thing. Now, love, when we use that title for the subject we're going to be dealing with tonight, I want you to understand we're going to be talking about two categories. A lot of times, theologically, it's called our vertical love and our horizontal love. But it's the love that we have towards God and the love that we have towards other people. Jesus Christ said that's the most important area of our spiritual life. The way that we love God and the way that we love other people. And after all, I want you to remember what we're told in the book of Matthew chapter 22. Starting in verse 35, it says this. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question. Talking about asking Jesus a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Or in other words, what's the greatest commandment in the Word of God? What's the most important thing to our spiritual life, Lord? I really want to know. And it says, and Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, in those verses, the Son of God Himself is making it crystal clear that loving God and loving other people is hands down the two most important aspects of our entire Christian life. Amen? And I want you to notice how much he emphasized the extreme importance of both of these things. Because when he was asked the question, hey Lord, what's the most important commandment in the Word of God? What's the most important aspect of our spiritual lives? I want you to notice exactly what he had to say. He said, here's my answer. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And then he even solidified the importance of both of these things by saying this. He said that those two particular commandments are what everything else, all the law and everything that the prophets have to say, actually hang upon. Yeah. Sounds pretty important to me. Right? I mean, if we're wanting to know what's the most important area, a guy asked him, hey, Lord, what is it? And he gave an answer, didn't he? So it's very easy to see that the love that a believer possesses in their life is without a doubt the single most important aspect of their entire spiritual life. Because it says it's what everything else in their spiritual life hangs upon. In other words, it's what everything else in their spiritual life is dependent upon or falls underneath. So that means when it comes to a believer properly obtaining and displaying both of these types of love in their life, it should be their greatest concern and it should be their greatest priority, shouldn't it? Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but that question is pretty clear. And his answer was pretty clear. He said, if you want to know what the most important thing to you spiritually is, it's loving God like you ought to and loving other people like you ought to. It's very clear what he had to say. So if that's the most important thing for me to be in right standing with God in every other area, because everything else hangs on that, then it needs to be my highest priority and my greatest concern. Folks, tonight we have to understand the fact that the Lord could not have made it any clearer concerning what He had to say about this subject and how important it is to our lives. Because in those verses, He gave a very precise answer to a very specific question. Nothing in this text is vague at all. So there's no question. There's no argument. There's no confusion as to what the most important thing should be in our spiritual lives, right? Now, we have to understand that all throughout the Word of God, we see this exact same point of Christian love and its importance in our lives being emphasized over and over and over again, and in just as strong of terms as what we see Jesus emphasizing it in our text. For instance, I want you to notice what we're told in the following verses, and tonight we're just going to be dealing with six different things, and it's going to be a very, very basic sermon, because if we don't understand the importance of love, we're never going to go on to obtain it like we should, to pursue it like we should, or to enjoy the benefits of it like we should. So the first thing that I want you to notice that we're told very clearly in the Word of God is that us as believers having this type of love is absolutely essential to our spiritual life. It's something that has to take place. And you've got to understand that tonight. You've got to see how extremely important this really is, because we're not going to be able to exist spiritually or succeed spiritually unless we love God like we should and unless we love others like we should. Because notice what we're told in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, about how absolutely essential it is to love God and others like we should. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." That's a description of the love towards God that God gives to us. Then in John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus said this, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." In other words, He's describing our love towards others. Now, the first thing that we have to realize is that these verses aren't being given to us merely as suggestions. But these verses are being given to us very clearly and straightforwardly as commandments. I want you to notice when the Lord was describing how we're supposed to love Him, when He says we're to love Him with all of our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might, He said in these words, "which I command thee." God doesn't give suggestions, folks. He doesn't work out deals. He tells us what to do, and I'm glad that He does. Then in John chapter 15, when the Lord was talking about the way that we should love others, He said, "This is my commandment. You need to love other people just like I loved you." In other words, God is trying to make sure in these portions of Scripture and in many more we could use that we as His people fully understand the fact that as believers, we're not supposed to see the things that He's telling us here as optional. But we're supposed to see the things that He's telling us in these verses as mandatory. Why? Because these things are absolutely essential to our spiritual lives. We cannot succeed or even exist in our spiritual lives unless we understand one thing. These things are commandments, and then we make sure that we go on to obey them. Jesus said it's what everything else hangs off of, folks. We've got to understand how absolutely essential having love for God and the proper love for other people actually is to our own spiritual well-being. Excuse me. Second, I want you to notice that we're also told that love is the supreme attribute that a Christian could ever have. Now, I know that we judge people by how spiritual they are, by how many spiritual gifts they've demonstrated in their lives. You know, I mean, a lot of times when we talk about heroes of the faith, we'll talk about John Wesley because he preached so often and had such success. Right? Talk about spirit, you know, Smith Wigglesworth because he was used in the gifts of the Spirit in such an incredible way, raising people from the dead, being used in the gifts of healing. Right? That's who we read. Who have you ever read about that was really full of love? Huh? And yet the Bible says it's the supreme attribute that a Christian could ever have in their life. And it's the most unrecognized. Notice what it says in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. In other words, these verses are saying that love is literally the ultimate or the supreme thing in a believer's life. It's the highest spiritual accomplishment that a child of God could ever possibly attain. It's the greatest spiritual attribute that a person of God could ever possibly possess, Christian love. It even goes as far as to say that it's above all these other wonderful things that he's talking about, mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and forgiveness and meekness and long-suffering and all these other wonderful things. He said, but above all those things, put on charity, which is translated love. It doesn't mean giving to the poor or taking some clothes down to Goodwill, you know, giving to charity. That word charity is talking about love. That's what it means. Meaning that love is more important in a believer's life than anything else. I mean, Paul's saying, yes, all these wonderful things are good and I want you to experience all these things, but above all that stuff, get a hold of love. And then it even says in verse 14 that love is the bond of perfectness. Meaning it's the core or the cause of all true spiritual maturity. Doesn't mean that you'll never be without fault. It means that you'll be a mature saint of God if you have love in your life. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, when Paul was listing all of the awesome gifts, you know, that a believer could have in their spiritual life, he closes by saying this in verse 31. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13, which is what? The love chapter. We need to understand, hey, I like reading about Wigglesworth and seeing how he was used in the gifts of the Spirit. Man, I love to read about guys like George Whitfield, you know, coming over here and preaching and having thousands of people converted under the ministry. I love to read about all of that stuff. But that's not the greatest attribute that a Christian can get a hold of. The Bible says that it's love. So in other words, if I want to have a book written about me, Brother Zach, I mean, what I wanted to say is, man, Jason Kincaid loved God and loved other people more than anybody else that ever lived for God. I really want to make sure that you're understanding this tonight. It's the most important thing possible in our spiritual lives, love. Third thing I want you to notice. I want you to notice that the Bible says that love should be the foundation of our spiritual lives. For instance, in our text, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glories, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, these verses are saying that the love that we have as believers is what the rest of our spiritual existence is supposed to be based upon. It's our foundation. I mean, after all, I want you to notice the illustration that very purposefully and very clearly is being used in this particular text. Because here we see the great apostle Paul, and he's saying that the trunk and the root of a tree is to exemplify the love that a Christian ought to have in their life. Really, that's kind of a weird illustration. Trunk and root of tree. Why did he use that? Okay. Well, we need to ask ourselves, what do the trunk and the root of a tree do? That's what's supposed, you know, the part it's supposed to be in our Christian life. What does it even do? Well, the answer to that question is easy. Because the trunk and the roots of a tree act as its foundation. It's what everything else rests upon. And the Bible's trying to get us to understand that that's the exact same role that love should play in every single one of our spiritual lives. It should be the center of support in all of our spiritual existence. It should be what everything else in our spiritual life rests upon. It's to be the very foundation of our faith. It's that important. It's not a branch. It's not a side issue or a side topic. Love is the single most important thing to a believer. Number four, I want you to notice that the Bible also shows us the extent that a believer is expected to love. The extent that they're expected. I want to make sure you understand that word, expected to love. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." That's how it describes our love for God. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Seeing that ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned faith or unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Okay, now here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're being told that as believers, we are expected to love God with absolutely everything we've got. Not just more than anything else, but with everything we have. And then it says in 1 Peter that we're also required to love other people fervently, the Bible says. Now what that word fervently means, earnestly or sincerely or with an extreme amount of love. That's what that word fervently means. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus himself went as far as to set the standard that he expects his people to love other people by when he said this, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Quite a standard, isn't it, Brother Ellison? In other words, here the Lord is saying, listen, I don't just want you to love other people, but I want you to love them like I do. Wow. And that raises another very important question that we need to answer, which is, how does Jesus love? Well, He loves unconditionally, and He loves to the furthest extent possible. And He's saying, that's the standard that I've set. And that's the standard I expect you to follow when it comes to loving God and loving other people. Notice the all-inclusive words in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, when the Lord's saying, this is how I want you to love me. I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, with everything that you've got. Fifth thing, I want you to notice that the Bible says that we are to continually progress in the love that God desires for us to obtain. It's very obvious that He wants us to love Him and to love other people, but we also need to understand that He wants us to grow in that love continually. Because in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, it says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, Then 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Add that to your faith. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. Now, here we see that God doesn't want us to simply obtain a love for Him or to obtain a love for other people, to just have it or just get a hold of it in some way. But these verses are telling us that He wants us to when we get a hold of a love towards Him and towards other people, He wants to see that love become something that constantly progresses and grows, that becomes stronger, furthers to the extent. And I want you to notice the words that He used to describe the growth that He wanted us to see the love that we gain for Him and for other people go through. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, He said that He wanted it to abound more and more. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, He said He wanted to see it be added to our faith. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, He said that He desires for us to increase and abound that we have towards Him and towards other people. In other words, since love is the most important thing in our spiritual lives, He constantly wants us to be desiring and seeking after more and more and more. To not be satisfied with a little bit. I mean, I really hope you can say today that you love God now more today than you did when you first got saved. I know when I first met my wife, man, I thought she was the most wonderful thing that ever lived. I mean, we got married not 6 months after we started going out. I mean, I knew she was the one and all those different things. And that, I mean, I loved her then, but I love her a whole lot more now than I did when I first met her. 18 years, love her more now than I ever have. And God says that's the kind of love that He wants us to have for other people, not just your wife, for other people and for Him. Constantly growing and progressing. Not just be satisfied that you have a love for somebody, that you would grow in it. And then last, I want you to notice the safeguard that the Word of God says that love will secure in our life. The safeguard that it'll give us. And the way that I want to do this is by showing you the way that most of the verses that I just read to you, I'm not going to read all of them, but the verses that I just read to you go on to finish out, or the results that they produce. Okay? For instance, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That's what I read to you before. But then in verse 8 it says, for if these things be in you, that this love would really be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacked these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, I want you to notice the results that having love in your life, these verses declare what the results will be. Number one, it says that you will not be barren or unfruitful in your love for God and in living for God. And then it says, as a matter of fact, if you'll just do that, you're never going to fall away from Him either. Sounds like some pretty good results. By just having this one thing in your life. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. But then in verse 13, it goes on to say this, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Now here it says that love will establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Guiltless. Nothing that He's unpleased with. And it goes on to say that it will secure and solidify your spot in the rapture. Sounds pretty important to me. Sounds like some good results. Then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, our text, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love," but now notice what it goes on to say will be the result, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, verses 18 and 19 are saying that if a believer in Christ is rooted and grounded in love like they ought to be, then they will be able to understand and experience the entire scope of Christianity. Right? And it will open up the door and the opportunity for them to be filled with what's described in the Word of God as all of the fullness of God. That's a result of having love in your life. And then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, it even says that if we'll have this kind of love firmly established in our lives, then it will cause us to take on the very character of Jesus Christ. And it will guarantee that one day we will by all means be found acceptable in His sight. Listen to what it says. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." But then it goes on to say in verse 10, "that ye may approve things that are excellent." In other words, you start to feel the same way about things that Jesus does. Start to take on His character. You like the things that He likes. You don't like the things that He doesn't like. "That ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ," just by having love in your life. What better results could a person possibly ask for? I mean, it's easy to see how it's the single most important area in our spiritual lives. It's a guarantee of spiritual victory if we'll just love God the way that we should and love other people the way that we should too. Now, I don't know about you, and if somebody wants to come to the music, I don't, anybody, well, just go ahead and play something, brother. But love sounds like a pretty important topic to me. It's not a branch. It's a trunk. It's just like what Jesus said. It's what everything else hangs upon. And folks, we have to understand that it's an essential part of our spiritual lives. And it opens the door to us as believers experiencing God's best. I mean, all those verses just told us it's an absolute guarantee of spiritual victory. We will by all means make it if we just have the proper kind of love in our lives. When you study this out, you'll see that love is literally the answer to every single aspect of our Christian walk. I mean, the Bible even says that if we would only make sure that we have both of these kinds of love firmly established in our lives and properly in place, then it would act as undeniable proof to a lost and a dying world that we indeed do belong to Him and that He has the power to come down and change a person's life. Because here's what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35. "By this shall all men," all the skeptics, all the atheists, everybody, "by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Now, I was talking with Brother Keplinger before we came out here, and when I was preparing this sermon, I had a lot more things to go over and cover than what I did tonight. And I wasn't going to make it just to be a long thing, but there's a whole lot of things that we could talk about when we're looking at the subject of love. But the Lord really impressed something on my heart, and He said, you know, what we need to do as we come down to the altars tonight before we go any farther is we really need to get a hold of the fact of how important this subject really is to us as Christians. And then we need to make sure that we dedicate ourselves to pursuing after it like we should. To where we really begin to have a love for God and a love for other people like God desires for us to. To when we read things in the Word of God, and Paul said this in the book of Romans, he said, you know, I'd be willing to go to hell and burn forever if the Jews would only get saved and live for the Lord. You ever read over that? I'm not there yet. but I'd like to be. You know, he said to the Thessalonians, he said, listen, you know, I'd be willing to not just, you know, to preach to you and to see you live for God, but I'm willing to give you even my own soul because you're so dear to me. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and everybody's making fun of Him and spitting on Him and degrading Him after all the shame that He had to suffer, after all the pain He had to go through, what did He say? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. Yeah, preacher, but He was the Son of God. Well, what did Stephen say when they were stoning Him to death? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. I'm talking to you about a love that we have yet to obtain. That is more important to our spiritual lives than we could possibly imagine. If you wonder why you don't live for God in the way that you should, you want to know what the answer to that question is? It's because you don't love Him like you ought to. If you want to know why you get so upset with people and lose your temper, or why you don't go out and witness, or why you don't pray for other people, I mean, the answer is, it's real simple. It's because you don't love them like you ought to. Jesus said, if you would just love them like you do yourself, you'd be more willing to do those things. You see how important it really is? Let's go ahead and stand. Oh, boy. Here's what I want us to do as we come around the altars. Is I want us to just come down and say, Lord, over the course of this next coming week, I want you to begin to show me just how important this subject is in my spiritual life. Whether he brings a circumstance up in your life, whether he just, you know, gives you a certain kind of, and I don't want to sound too liberal, but a certain kind of revelation. I mean, whatever he does, however he speaks to you. I mean, whether you got to buy this CD and listen to it over and over again, or get a copy of the notes or whatever the case might be. I mean, just ask him, Lord, I really want you to make this real to me so that I really understand how important it is that I really do love you like you say that I should. And how important it is that I love other people like I should. There's a big difference between liking something and loving something. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, and we love you so very much. But Lord, I think as the more time we spend around the altars, we'll find very quickly that we don't love you as much as what we should. And we surely don't love other people as much as what we should. But Lord, we're asking tonight that you would make it real to us. We realize that Jesus said this is the most important thing in our spiritual lives. It's what everything else is based off of. Lord, we've got to get this foundation right or nothing else is going to be right. Lord, I pray you help us to see it that way. And that you give us the determination to stay in a place of prayer until we really have this love that you desire for us to have solidified inside of each one of our lives. And we'll thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a shame that there ain't any books on how much somebody loved other people. But everybody gets excited when somebody was used in the gifts of healing. And, you know, y'all understand what I'm saying, you know. Brother Boyer, if somebody was sick and I'd lay my hands on them and they'd recover, man, we'd call up the Pentecostal evangel and they'd come and do an interview of old Brother Kincaid because I was using that area. But if somebody slapped me in the face and I had enough love for them that I didn't just forgive them, but I got down and I prayed and said, God, they just don't understand what they're doing. God, please show them the error of their ways. God, come down and do, just God, move in their life. There wouldn't be any interest in that at all. That's not the way things ought to be. And I hope that's not the way you're going to let it be in your life. As great and as wonderful as God really is, don't you think that we ought to love Him in the way that He desires to be loved? Don't you think that we'd serve Him in the way that He desires us to serve Him if we loved Him in the way that we... Amen. Let's come down and see.